Good morning, good noon, good evening. Wherever time and place you're listening to us from, straight from the 909, it's Mark, Andre, myself, Isaiah, and together, that's hip-hop. Today we're doing things a little differently. In honor of it being 50 years of hip-hop, we are going to reveal our top influences, top 50, five.
Our top 50
each. We're going through it each.
Our top five MCs. Top five songs, top five producers that have really shaped our hip-hop stilo. But first, before we look back to unveil our hip-hop inspirations in the past 50 years, I just wanted each of us to try to give a little guess of what we think each other's five top MC influences are.
Yeah.
Mark, we'll give you a shot at it.
Guess for both of you guys.
Yeah, so try to guess my top five first.
Let's play the Newlywed theme song, won't you guys? No, I'm just
kidding. All right, so try to guess that my top five.
Okay. MCs, and I'll see. So in no particular order, I have for Isaiah, I have Eminem, Nas, ODB, Vinnie Paz, and Ghostface Killah.
Ooh.
Wait, you said Eminem, Nas,
ODB.
Mm-hmm. Who else? Vinny Paz. And Ghostface Killah. And
Ghostface Killah.
So you got 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
You got, you just got 3 out of 5. You got Eminem, Nas, and ODB.
Okay.
Yep.
How did you get ODB? What? ODB's one of your influences? I wouldn't have got that one. That's not fair.
All right. Try to see if you could guess. Take a shot at Andre's.
Elzai, Eminem, Lupe, MF Doom, and Busta Rhymes.
Woo! That's a good list. That's a good list. Say it again. So, Eminem, Elzai.
Andre presented us before he came on the show. He told us he had
like 30 rappers.
He had 30 rappers. I was like, pick one end and whittle it down to 5.
Okay, guys, before we continue, something happened, right? As I was doing my top five, I literally realized top fives are a marketing gimmick that is completely out of context of how many hundreds of rappers there are in the rap game. And we have to compile 50 years into 5 people, into 5 slots. That's impossible, bro. Like it's impossible. So as I was doing it, I was like, man, I'm like almost 30, 40 rappers in. And I realized there's too many artists. There's too much good hip hop in this world to squeeze into 5. But I managed that shit. So
it was on my possible. List.
It was possible. But I had to force myself. I feel like everybody else.
It ain't easy. Absolutely.
Let me continue my theory. My theory is this. Every rap podcast out right now, you guys have 2 top 5 lists. Your first top 5 list is your pop top 5 list, which will have names that are iconic like Rakim, Kanye West, Jay-Z, etc. Then you have your secret top 5. Mm-hmm. And that top 5 might have names like Tretch or Nicki Minaj, bro. People
like who really influenced you.
Exactly. So everybody has a pop top 5. It's like, okay, I'll tell you this. And then it's like this other side of it. True. So in this case, I'm just going to give you my pop top 5 so I don't get fucked up by anybody. Mark was right.
What did you say again, Mark?
I said Elzai, Eminem, Lupe Fiasco, MF Doom, and Busta Rhymes.
God damn. He got 3 out of 5, motherfucker. Wow. He got 3 out of 5 as well.
3 out of 5.
Busta Rhymes, Elzai, and Eminem.
I'm keeping track of the scores here, so that way we can see who got closer. All right, so I'm going to give my guess for Mark's. Mos Def, GZA, Eminem, MF Doom, and then the 5th one I didn't know. I chose Big Pun.
Big Pun. Ooh.
No. I think you got one.
One.
GZA? He got GZA.
I got 1 out of 5?
So GZA.
So Yasin Bey is not on your...
No.
Wow. Okay.
He's not. He's in my top 10 of MCs and all that. But all
right.
Like, we're talking influential. Like, what influenced my style?
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And then when I listened to Mark's style, I thought definitely RZA as well. I was thinking RZA. So I'm going to give you my top 5.
RZA or GZA?
RZA, no, he's GZA, definitely GZA. Yeah. It's definitely GZA, but over time, I felt like he has more RZA than GZA, but you know what I mean? So, all right, so I'm thinking, all right, we got GZA, Benefit, RZA.
Oh, I forgot one.
And RZA, you already said Mos Def, so that was a miss. What's the 4th one I want to say? I want to say Black Thought. And Q-tip. I say Q-tip.
Q-tip like that? Okay. There's another one.
Jizza.
Okay, can I say
it's
one?
The only
can I,
one.
Can I do another guess?
Well, you want to phone a friend?
Yeah.
You're going to call him.
Cannabis. Hey, so
I think, cannabis. Yo, cannabis. I forgot cannabis. Cannabis.
This is on
cannabis. We both. So me and Zay chose to guess at the end and say cannabis. But damn, Eminem? Is Eminem one of your influences?
No.
It's not possible. I'm the Eminem.
Okay, so Andre got 1 out of 5 too?
Yes.
1 out of 5.
So you guys both got the jizzle part right.
Damn. Okay. So now go ahead and reveal your top 5 then, Mark. We both tried to guess yours.
Doom, doom. Doom, doom. It's Biss, Jizza, Guru from Gangstar.
But fuck you.
Rakim.
Yeah.
Big Daddy Kane.
You know we wouldn't have guessed the Big Daddy
Rakim
Kane,
bro. And Rakim and Biz we should have got.
Damn it, man.
Okay.
Are you fucking serious?
Okay, Dre, so let me try to guess yours.
Fuck.
Mark already tried to guess yours. He got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
So I said Andre 3000, MF Doom, Lupe Fiasco, and Kendrick Lamar.
That's amazing. Only got one.
Only one?
You only got one, bro.
Only M?
Only M.
Dang.
Only
do, 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 do.
Wait, what about Lupe? I got Lupe too. No,
he's not on the list.
I bet the bullet on Lupe too.
Yeah, I don't. Shoot. The funnier part I never ever considered rhyming like Lupe ever.
No, I only did that like because him. I think by human conditioning, you know, the theory that goes if you end up stuck in a room with someone of that with you end up falling attraction towards them.
Right.
In this instance, I thought since Andre broke down murals so intensely that he immediately had this like lyrical attraction towards him.
Like
it's kung fu. It's all kung fu.
The actor becomes the person that
there's like a horrible thing of method acting.
Yeah.
Nah, he's definitely he's like a kung fu master to me. But he's not an influence. Wow. I can't say that Lupe is an influence. I can't say.
Wow. Okay. So Dre, reveal yours now since we all tried.
Reveal them. All right. So this is my pop top 5 for anybody watching. Eminem, Elzai, Busta Rhymes, Tech N9ne.
Yeah.
Charles Hamilton.
Tech N9ne.
Charles Hamilton.
Yeah.
Charles Hamilton.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a curve.
Man has over 500 plus albums. And he has, out of that 500 albums, about 200 classics.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy to even have that output and have that many incredible songs. He's one of the best freestylers in the world, too. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. So, Mark, you guessed mine already, right? You said...
I said
three. You got 3 out of 5. All right. So, Dre, give it a shot, man.
Yeah. All right. So, I got to guess his top 5 now?
Yes, you do.
All right. I'm thinking Eminem. Eminem, I'm seeing Black Thought, Vinny Paz. I want to go with, I don't know why you remind me of Common, but you don't, you're not going to say Common. Common's not on your list. And, my last one is, I'm just going to guess. I don't know.
Because she won.
What are you writing down? What you writing down?
I'll just read what you're writing down.
You can go with Common.
Common and then
Not going to actually, you guys aren't going to guess the fifth one.
We're not going to guess the fifth
one. he put Nesquik.
Yeah, Nesquik himself. Somebody that we don't benefit.
For sure.
Benefit for
that
number
would be
5.
A good one,
benefit for 5.
I would have liked him as one of them.
Him at 16, he would have picked benefit like we all were.
So you got 2 out of 5. 2 out of 5.
Oh, which was let's
Nas,
go.
M.
Yeah.
Nas and M.
Good job.
So I didn't choose Vinny Paz.
I didn't say Nas.
Yeah. I like Just a Law better than Vinny Paz, actually.
Wow.
Black Thought is dope. I like Black Thought too.
Wow. I don't know why. You have a very Black Thought sensibility when you write. It's like you always construct everything like Black Thought would. So I always thought there was some Black Thought influence.
So Mark wins this because Mark gets 3 out of 5 with me, 3 out of 5 with you as well.
Yeah, fucking. Like so, he knows us. He knows us. Yeah. Bro.
It's like I've been your guys' friend for so long.
We should have got Biz, though.
You know what it is? I didn't have cannabis in my head at all.
Yeah, man. I didn't have him on my head either. We should have got those two.
Yeah.
At least those two we should have got. Yeah. So yeah,
definitely jizz and cannabis for sure.
So the two losers get to take the winner out to Ruth's Chris, located in Pasadena, California. All expense paid trip. AKA one of us is driving.
Yeah,
I know. First round only. First round only.
Yeah, we'll have to do something for you, Mark.
It's only the bar.
It's only the bar.
Yeah.
It's only good for two drinks.
Yeah, because it's already going to be $80.
So I don't know how to really summarize this last 50 years, you know, of hip hop. You know, I guess you can't really do that in a show, especially in a 1 hour long right, show.
And to compile it down so quickly.
But, you know, I would say that it is interesting that this year was a year where some were like kind of speculating or worried about hip hop not being in the Billboard 200 charts, you know, in the early first half of this year. So that was kind of a thing until Lil Uzi Vert dropped his pink tape.
Yeah, Lil Uzi Vert got it. And I think
it back there.
Travis might be right behind him.
Yeah.
Travis Scott might have him. So
with his, especially the Utopia he just dropped.
Yeah.
But you know, even though it wasn't the case, there's still a lot of hip hop influences you see or hear in music.
Which, all the way down to country, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was an examples of this, like in SZA's music, in even in country, like you were saying, like Morgan Wallen's Thing at a Time, you hear laces of like even trap beats in this country album, country, which is crazy.
Yeah.
You even take the lyrics of most country music songs.
Yeah.
Those can be dope verses.
Yeah. Mm. It's like, it's like white blues.
Yeah.
It is. It's like it's white blues.
That's white crunk.
Yeah. Crunk. You know, some white drill music, if you will. But
you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, like even crunk, you know, because hip hop has really evolved. There's a lot of different branches of hip hop.
Eras, denominations.
Sub rap or sub hip hop cultures and stuff going on.
Conscious, super conscious.
Yeah. And it's not even just music. It can be in visual arts. It can be in film. It can be in fashion, where we've seen hip hop influences. It's
If I can add to that, Ninja Turtles movie that just came out. You know, Ninja Turtles in the '90s were rockers, right? Totally into rock.
Right.
Now Ninja Turtles are into rap. They're rappers.
With the exception of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. Remember the performing artist for that was Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Ninja rap.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he was the first one.
He had that in the tux.
First one was definitely like a dark rock and roll. Yeah. Casey Jones looked like he just played electric guitar all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will take the words.
And assaulted people in the park at night.
I'll take the words of Meth the Man, who said it best. I pledge allegiance to the hip hop. You know, I love those type of phrases, because hip hop in itself is its own kind of country. Like it's its own people.
Its own people, its own vernacular, its own language. Yeah. We create colloquialisms and slangs. We actually really shift language.
Yeah.
We add words to the dictionary or we shift words in the dictionary and give them further context. So in 50 years, you have to look at the genre as something that wasn't supposed to be born almost, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't supposed to be here. And, you know, in the home of rock and roll, in the realm of rock and roll never took this shit serious. And then I won't even say the year, but I really feel like maybe like the late 2010s, where rock really had to look at its numbers compared to rap.
Yeah.
And understand like this genre has surpassed it in a lot of different realms. I mean, of course, someone look at rock like, you know, it's a more involved situation. You have a band of people playing music uniquely and great lyrics. But I feel like hip hop has taken how music is made entirely and shifted it. Now, you don't have to have eight people in a band. You can have one guy with a sampler and one guy spitting bars. And that's all you need.
All you need.
That's all you need now.
Yeah.
So for something to be so easy to create and then for it to still shift this climate in music entirely,
and especially these days,
Hamilton, the fucking play. Like I look at Hamilton. I watched Hamilton on Disney Plus. Check it out. And as I was watching, I was like, "This is impossible." Like the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, "I don't believe this is even real. Like this can't happen. This is on Broadway, and this is one of the biggest Broadway plays in the world, bro." Because he, you know, coded the story of Hamilton in some fucking rap context, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at it like that and I see that everything is going to lean into that direction. I mean, we're really seeing the results. But in 50 years, come on, 50 years and we've seen this much shift and this much change and not see it decay in any way. I think that's something
influences into politics, It's really
like Obama, you know.
Yeah, it's really like a it is a lifestyle.
Oh yeah, Biden's verse when Biden had a verse on J. Cole's presidential.
J. Biden.
It was J. Cole, Joe Budden, and Jay Biden.
Joe Budden and Jay Biden.
And it's something that we live and breathe. Live and breathe it. So it's not only is it in our art forms, but it's just in our way of living.
Right.
You know, and it's a very special black pioneered art form of our time. It began and still remains in some degrees a product of the street. And it's for everyone. It's accessible to everyone. And now it's even global, which is dope. And so we're seeing rap all over the world of people in different languages, killing it.
Yeah.
In different languages, killing it.
Don't know what they're saying, but damn.
Yeah.
That like battles and.
Yeah. I just saw it. I saw an Indian rap battle, but there was no subtitles and it was the most fire shit I ever seen.
Crazy.
It's, I mean, it was like incredible because they have our body language. They're like doing the body language of America, but they're speaking their language and it's incredible. I mean, like for real, just imagine some guys speak. I'm not going to do an imitation of their language, but it's just, you know, they're saying what they're saying. And he does the gesture of shooting him. And it's like, you guys didn't learn that in your language. You know, you learned it from us and you manipulated it and made it your own. So when I see it, I mean, I've seen Chinese rap battles. You know, people send me everything you can imagine. So I've seen Korean rap battles, Chinese rap battles, Indian rap battles, European rap battles.
It's even to the extent of when people would say, hey, I don't speak English, but can you still teach me how to rap?
Exactly that.
Yeah. Once you told
English
me that,
is my third language. And someone was like, I need personal tutoring. I'm like, what are you going to do with this?
Yeah.
So, you know, man, the idea that it's reaching so far out and I think the idea of rap is, you know, you look like a superhero. You just look like a superhero. In some contexts, hip hop makes people feel like superheroes. You know, I've seen, you know, a party that's dull turn all the way up because somebody starts freestyling, you know?
Yeah,
so anything can happen, man. I just, you know, 50 years of something that was what I would consider a spark. And we created this big bang out of it, you know? So I can't believe we are even having this platform. We have this right now. We're talking about hip hop, you know? So this thing here is just something some would consider like an alien consciousness dropped on Earth and just worked, you know? And that's what we have. That's hip hop in a nutshell, you know?
Yep. So I'm going to give out a couple of shout outs to some pioneers, to some game changers out there. Try to go through them as quick as I can. Shout outs to DJ Kool Herc. For Let's inventing hip hop, James Brown for being the most sampled artist, Lee Quinones for turning a utilitarian piece of public infrastructure to becoming a global symbol for the new art form in graffiti hip hop, Africa Bambaataa, Sugar Hill Gang, Blondie's Rapture rap video, which was the first on MTV, mm-hmm. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five delivering the message. LA's Day for inventing rap radio, the Roxanne Wars, which were our earliest battles on radio records, Run DMC getting paid by Adidas, 1987, Def Jam goes on tour with the lineup that included LL Cool J, Houdini, Eric B and Rakim, DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, Dougie Fresh and Public Enemy. Public Enemy and NWA for bringing Fury rap. For the teenage Biggie freestyling on the Brooklyn corner to 1990, where hip hop goes pop, and you have check out the hook when my DJ revolves it. You have MC Hammer, 1991, Ice-T becomes the first rapper turned actor.
Yeah.
1992, Dr. Dre releases The Chronic. 1994, The Source gives Nas Illmatic 5 mics. The kingpin of rap, Suge, and his appearance with Tupac, his apprentice, the West Coast, East Coast beefs start to happen.
Wars.
1996, Lil' Kim gets hardcore. 1997, Missy Elliott making an album, Super Duper Fly, in just 2 weeks' time. So that way she could write for Aaliyah and for Genuine.
Classic album.
Man. 1999, Lauryn Hill makes history by winning a Grammy. Ghostface Killah in 2000s, he revives Wu-Tang and releases the Supreme Clientele. 2001, Nas and Jay-Z, epic diss war ever, the most epic ever that you can have. 2002, Eminem gets one more shot with 8 Mile.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2004, MF Doom and Madlib collab with Mad Villainy. Yep. 2005, mixtapes go from car trunks to internet. 2006, 3-6 Mafia wins an Oscar. 2007, Soulja Boy goes viral. 2008, Lil Wayne becomes unstoppable. 2009 is the rise of Drake. 2010, Nicki eats on Monster. 2012, Chief Keef, I Don't Like, launches Drill. Mm. 2013 is the birth of Migos Flow. 2015, Joe Budden becomes a podcaster. 2016,
that's history,
Kanye walks on a ledge and rants. 2017, Nipsey launches Marathon, a clothing store. 2018, Kendrick wins a Pulitzer. 2020,
that's big news. The Pulitzer is a big win, man.
2020, America learns the meaning of WAP. it could go on and on. Now we're talking about the rise of women in rap.
And I'm loving every second of this shit. Yeah. As a male, I'm going to be a strong male about the rise of females. A lot of men are not strong enough for this shit. Seeing women rise in rap is hard. Yeah, it's fucking, it's incredibly hard. It's difficult.
Megan Thee Stallion taking over, Nicki Minaj.
It's hard. But the reality is, and I always try to drop this on people, is you would never hear lyrics like this without them. Mm-hmm. You need them to do this shit. A man cannot write a Megan Thee Stallion song. As a ghostwriter, we can technically, okay, comment section, you can technically write a ghost song for a woman, right? You can ghostwrite a song for a woman. But when you have somebody like Nicki Minaj, who doesn't have a lot of ghostwriters, we'll say she might have got some help, but she mostly writes that shit herself.
Yeah, maybe Cardi B, maybe.
Cardi B, oh yeah, she's like, I look at them as like they're sisters with different concepts, right? Yeah. So it's like Nicki writes everything from her precision and Cardi allows all the writing to come to her.
Right.
But they both gonna give you the best result.
Right.
But just having them in the game, having a song like WAP is important. We have to have a song like WAP. I know we're men and it's not completely our shit, but WAP is just a version of a man's song saying I have the biggest dick, right? Yeah. That's all it is. So I feel like women coming into the game and doing what they're doing, they're still new. They're still getting the ball rolling, but we about to see some really incredible shit from the women. So men, we gonna step it up in our own way, but women do shit lyrically that men cannot do. No. There's a female named Sa Rock. Just, I can't even fathom her. She's just like so fucking lyrical as a woman, but she only talks about womanly things and she's just next level with her shit. Yeah. So we're gonna see the next level of this shit is gonna go on and I'm sure we're gonna just see more genre blending. And it's going to be circulated around hip hop music, but we're going to see like rock bands rolling in with rappers. We're going to see like polka bands running in with rappers. I'm not being funny. I'm like deadly serious. Like imagine polka, but rap on it. Right. I feel like a lot of these different genres are going to come home to rap. And then rap is just going to be everywhere because a lot of the writing now, even like the singer, songwriter, guitar people sound like the Migos now. And that's really weird. Like, I mean, a singer, songwriter with a guitar, they can sing it however they want to. But they're doing the Migos flow. So something about it is going to make this whole game shift, man.
It's really exciting though, to see like, you know, the women started coming out and starting to kill it. Like
kill it.
It's cool because I've always wanted that for so long. And we had Lauryn Hill maybe for a good 15. Yeah, exactly. For a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've been kind of wanting more, you know? Yeah. So
and they're
cool.
Out there. It's cool. They're out there. And the journey to find them is just as invigorating as finding your favorite male artist.
Yeah,
but exactly. We as males aren't going to look for women like that. Women will look for women like that. Right. So
yeah,
you know, that's just the game.
Right. So, so cheers to 50 years of hip hop, gentlemen.
God,
we don't really have anything.
Cheers. Yeah. Cheers.
I wonder,
Cheers.
I wonder how the sample wars are going to end up coming around because in 50 years, about 100 year mark, actually 130, because you're going to be dealing with, 30 years into this 50 years, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So after that, those 100 years, a lot of these songs are going to become public domain, meaning they're going to be accessible to anyone without any copyright infringement or anything.
Right.
Same thing. Like, look, for example, I could play the movie Nosferatu right now without any legal ramifications because it's a free source to use right now. It's actually public domain. Same thing with these songs. A lot of catalogs are going to be opened up to whoever because of those that mark of 100 years. The Happy Birthday song.
The Sampling Gang. Well, yeah, the Happy Birthday
song. The Happy Birthday song was public, is public domain now. And that's why you had a lot of fast food restaurants
adapt it into
the, you know, make their own Happy Birthday song. Now they could do it whenever they want.
Yeah.
I want to see how the sample wars, you know, it's going to be long, long after I'm dead, but I would want to be a resurrected fly on the wall or reincarnated something. Fuck, make me into a possum, but put me in New York. And I just want to see what the sample wars are going to be like, because they're going to be, it's going to be the Wild West.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Cause there's nice beats to be had and there's nice sample.
I like that. We're
samples to be had.
We're in that ballpark and we still have to do our top five producers too. Yeah. So, and that while we're in that realm, hip hop music introduced the concept of sampling, which is, I love the idea of this not existing. And then somebody going, what did you just do to the song? The song doesn't sound like that. That's not how Aretha Franklin sounds. And he like rearranges Aretha Franklin perfectly, right? Or like make her respell or respect to another word or something, right? You know, that type of shit back then, you know, they only could sample very small spaces of the song. You know, nowadays I could chop a song into like 100 pieces. So back in the day, whatever they pulled off, they only had about 4 to 8 pieces of the song they could play with. So that's why the loops are longer, you know, and they have certain loops that land that way. So production, especially from hip hop, was completely like ridiculed because they're not playing their own music, right? I'm like a musician and I live off this shit, right? I'm a guitarist for whatever the fuck, and I'm a studio musician for whatever, right? And I see you and you're a sampler and you sample songs. I don't see you as a musician. You're not on my level, right?
Exactly.
And that's what hip hop looked like to the world, right? You're not real music because you're just taking frames and bits of something that's already here. How do you call that new music? So when I look at that and I see on commercials nowadays, they're using sampled songs.
Yeah.
Remixing and chopping like regular.
There's even a couple commercials that have like Special Herbs.
Yeah.
Or RJD2. I've heard RJD2 beat on like an Ameritrade commercial.
Yes. It's crazy. Nuts. No, it's crazy. Because it's like practical now.
You're
it's
cold
really
chilling.
Practical.
Picture yourself cold chilling, just like watching a basketball game, and all of a sudden you just see an Ameritrade commercial with a beat that you're familiar with. You end up doing that move that Rick Dalton did in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Whoa, here it is. Like you end up hearing that. Yeah. It's it's one of those moments where you smile a little bit knowing that like, hey man, like someone's getting residuals off of this, off of big time played commercial.
Yeah. It almost feels, I mean, cause we make hip hop music. So to see hip hop music dominate the planet, it feels even better because it almost feels like we didn't waste time. We actually are on the right path, but you know, not to hark on that any further. I just want to talk more on the production, right? So production wise, grooves and sounds of this period, you know, we had a very boom right on the grid, right? And as time evolved, we found ways to bend the grid out of space, and it's boom
right
boom, like, and we're breaking the grid. We're doing shit that musicians did not anticipate we would do with time. And as time rolls on, we get into this period where producers are now like, we get Pete Rock, DJ Premier, that are just fucking everything up, apparently. But these are some of the greatest producers in the world, right? I just love how production-wise what hip-hop has done is we have shifted the climate to where now it's so elaborate that we can sample real people on top of a song that we've already sampled.
Yeah.
And like, we could sample so many pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. Before it was a fight to even get a sample cleared, and now it's part of the game.
I see people even sampling just a TikTok video.
Yeah.
Turn it into a beat.
And make it into something crazy, right? Yeah. Or people sampling shit from, you know, like Christmas songs and making those pop, you know? Yeah. Or you know, playing like a McDonald's jingle, and somebody remixes it and puts it on TikTok and it blows up. So we're just in another lane with what we can remix and retwist and play around with. I love that idea. So yeah, man. So what was our top five for the producers?
Okay. So for our producers, I'll go ahead and start with my top five.
I don't think there's going to be a good guessing game with these. We're going to.
It's too elaborate.
Yeah. There's too many here. So I'll go ahead and start with, I guess what we'll do is should I say all five of mine and then just go
one by one? Yeah. Say five.
Okay. All five.
So,
say all five and just talk about it.
So my first one is, and this is five producers who have influenced us and who have really, just like I said, it kind of made up our genetic code of our stilo and hip hop. My first one is Ayatollah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Because of Miss Fat Booty, what he did with that beat inspired me so much and becoming, well, cause I was making beats at the time. So that beat, when I would hear it over and over, I was just like, I was really, blown away by just a sample on how it turned, an Aretha Franklin song into this incredible hip hop beat.
Right.
And, it was just amazing to me, amazing for my first time hearing that beat. And I thought that was the best beat ever made.
Yeah. You don't even, dude, it's like not a lot of people, may not know Mos Def's catalog, but they are going to know Ms. Fat Booty.
Yeah.
And they are going to the first thing right after the lyrics or before is going to be the notice of how good that beat is.
Yeah. It moves you.
It's amazing.
It moves you.
It really did inspire me. It's one of the best like hip hop songs that I like. But my next producer is Necro. Necro, he produced a lot of hip hop beats that I loved.
Necro does got good beats, man. Listen to Gory Days.
Okay. His beats were just so
Gory Days is
now. So there's so much you can name off, but the favorite one of mine that I liked out of Necro's was Underground. That beat right there just inspires me. When I hear that beat, it gets goosebumps on my arms, and because I'm like that beat, it makes you want to kill it. So Necro to me is one of the greatest beat makers of all time, especially for that underground hip hop battle rap style.
Oh yeah,
you know that's his bread and butter right there.
Yeah.
Stoop from Jedi Mind Tricks is my third one.
You're blowing my mind, man. Stoop. I didn't know that.
You learn something new every day.
Stoop was crazy on the beats. I always downloaded his beats, and I'm sorry if that's a bad thing, and I shouldn't have done that. But it was just
downloading music and hip hop.
It was just
on the 50-year anniversary.
Right, on the 50th, I can't believe
it was just so inspiring though. That he's probably one of the beat makers that inspired me the most out of this top five, because I felt like I could do it. Like hearing his style, I was just like, oh, that I could obtain that. Like that bedroom, like. I just felt like with what he was working with, he made it happen. And I was blown away by his sampling as well. There's something on YouTube where you can see just the samples he used, and it's a compilation and it'll show how he flipped it. It's amazing what he's been able to flip. Like he's flipped classical joints and just made the most epic of hip hop beats that you could ever make. Like it's so dope the way he's flipped stuff. So Stoop is going to be one of my all-time great producers. Madlib is in there. Madlib is, I like accordion. I thought when I first heard that beat, I was like, what am I hearing right now? This is sick. It's way different from what I've heard. Madlib's style is just
Strange
dope,
Ways
period.
Is good too.
Oh, God,
Strange Ways is good.
He's not normal.
And the fact that he even like, I love the whole, everything about this dude because he not only has the rapping skills in his regular voice, but has Quasimodo, and then he can make joints, and then he collabs with MF Doom. I love everything about this dude. Beat Conducta, like all his different aliases, like they're sick.
He's incredible.
They're amazing.
He even did that India album,
the Bollywood joints, man. Yeah. That shit was fucking nice.
So Madlib's definitely one there, and then Dr. Dre, of course, he's in my top five producers of all time. I love. Oh. The beat he made on What's the Difference Between Me and You. Yeah. I love that beat so much. And I love who he collabed with on M and Exhibit on that track. We three got together. We ate one time at Fridays and we were just repeating the lyrics to that. And this girl sitting next to us, she was just like, kind of like amazed. She was just like, what the hell? You guys all know that whole song.
Yeah,
and we just started off.
And then we just battled her.
Yeah.
It's the beat her ass. In a rap.
Lyrically.
So those are my top five producers that have influenced me and my style of beat making. And I give them their flowers on this 50th anniversary of hip hop. So salute to you producers.
Let me get this next.
We're doing it. Go ahead, Dre.
Yeah, man. All right. So whatever double I see that's yours, I'm just going to replace him with another producer. So my starting one is Dr. Dre, without a doubt. Simply because of his technique, right? It's called interpolation, I believe, whereas instead of me sampling your song, I just remake your song exactly how your song sounds.
That is crazy about
then
him.
I sample the song.
That's crazy about him.
He's fucking genius in that regard. I'm so I had to get that out. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Because I figured it out. I was like, he really, I swear, there were so many beats on the original Chronic that I thought he sampled, right? And then I did the math and did some work. And he's literally playing the instruments again. I'm like, how do you, that's incredible to think about, that I could recreate the sample myself. That is a huge musicianship level, if I could explain it. So since I can't pick Dr. Dre, because you already picked Dr. Dre, I'm going to swap him out for DJ Quick.
Ooh,
DJ Quick.
Okay. That was a curve. I didn't see you picking that
game changer. Yeah, because nobody fucking understands DJ Quick, man. DJ Quick is the other Dr. Dre, okay? Dang. So if you guys are looking for someone that's making shit from scratch that is unbelievable, it's DJ Quick.
Dang.
Those sounds, those twing, all these weird sounds,
he has,
man.
He's some bangers.
He's got some incredible works. Check those albums out. So yeah, so mine is Dr. Dre, but I swapped him out for DJ Quick for that one. So my next one is Dilla, J. Dilla. J. Dilla has completely, in my world, molded the world you guys are fucking with. That lo-fi sound, you know, Nujabes guys that are big fans of Nujabes and shit, they're also kids of Dilla. A lot of these cats are Dilla's kids, so J. Dilla is one of the greatest in the game. Oh, Dilla Says Go is one of my favorite beats off of Donuts. Donuts is an album that every single time I listen to this album, it changes.
I can't say how many times that we freestyled over J. Dilla.
Yeah. Oh, like, man.
J. Dilla. Okay, that's my rule. If you freestyle on J. Dilla beats, you'll be the best rapper, okay? Because J. Dilla's beats bring the best out of people. He has some of the best productions in the game. Yeah, J. Dilla wins, all right? If you can get a Tribe Called Quest to go, hey, can you just produce our album? That's how you know.
That's how you know.
So, yeah. Dilla's the one, man. Then my next one was Madlib, right? Because Dilla and Madlib to me are they're brothers. They're twins from another world, man. But you already picked Madlib. So, man, I don't know who to exchange Madlib with, but I'll try to find somebody. But anyway, so Madlib, my perspective on Madlib is simply the same as you. His production technique is just something I cannot put into words.
Yeah.
I can't match him. So the sounds he makes, the rhythm he has his own groove, his own timing. He has his own grit. Oh. I'll replace Madlib with Flying Lotus.
Ooh.
All right, so Madlib is being replaced with Flying Lotus.
That's a good pick.
Flying Lotus is the man. Like,
I don't know if a lot of people know about Flying
Lotus. Oh, then y'all need to get to know Flying Lotus. Flying Lotus is J. Dilla and Madlib in one guy. That's who Flying Lotus is. Flying Lotus has both of the sounds perfectly aligned, that weird wonky shit, but he has the atmosphere and the weird sounds of Dr. Dre. So he's like all of them in one guy, and he's L.A. based. So yeah, Flying Lotus, I'll replace Madlib with, because I have, like, if you hear my beats and the weirdness of them, that's Flying Lotus all the way. All of the weird shit I do is based on how unique Flying Lotus can make his sound.
That was your your beat. Last episode. For reference.
Yeah, that's that dude. So Flying Lotus.
You can hear it. You can hear that.
Flying Lotus has one of the dopest beats with Mac Miller. Somebody Help Me or SDS or SOS, I think. Yeah, check that one out. That one's crazy. Next after that is Timbaland. Timbaland, awesome. Cannot walk away from the game without hearing a Timbaland beat, okay? Timbaland worked excellent with Missy and Aaliyah.
Yeah, that was...
Oh, my God.
Incredible run.
The work he did with Justin Timberlake. I know that's not hip-hop, but still...
He's Timbaland, super versatile, bro.
Timbaland brings hip-hop to different places.
The ranges you just went to, because you went from Justin Timberlake to Missy Elliott to Aaliyah, and then you went back to hip-hop shows is versatility.
Wait, to Petey Pablo, bro. To Petey Pablo and fucking... what's that other white rapper? Dang. Paul Wall. He worked with Paul Wall. So Timbaland is always in these weird pockets and spots that work perfectly. So Timbaland definitely gets that fourth slot. And then the last slot I give to the Neptunes. Not just Pharrell, the Neptunes. Chad Hugo is in the Neptunes, okay? So I'm giving Chad mad love because people do not talk about Chad. I don't understand. They completely negate Chad. It's not just Pharrell. It's Pharrell and Chad. And there's a third motherfucker, but he's invisible. But yeah, so it's
the Jerobi of the group.
Shay don't want to be seen. So yeah, so we got, yeah. So it's Pharrell and Chad, but everybody says Pharrell and they don't give Chad anything.
Yeah, they go Pharrell and the Neptunes.
Yeah, but
he's
Chad,
getting that
Chad has individually produced full albums, and Chad's input on those albums are fucking phenomenal. You cannot beat Chad. Pharrell to me is just like that artisan type of fella that does anything. But Chad is the technician that does anything. Having them together is perfect. So Neptunes is that last one, man. So,
yeah, that's a good list.
Yeah, that's my list right there, man. And then, yeah, I can't move past that. I can't go anywhere beyond it. I know I might have missed Pete Rock and Premier, but y'all understand, like, it's my era. So, yeah. What you got, right,
Mark? What you got?
My first pick is DJ Premier.
All right, let's go. Let's go.
Premier. I want to say this because it's the reason I have Premier and Guru in collectively is when I was a kid, I had that, again, I had that People's Magazine article that showed like the hip hop albums you should listen to. Right. And I did my homework with all of them. And they told me that Step in the Arena was one of those albums I needed to listen to. So, okay. I, you know, the thing about me with hip hop is that like, if I didn't have the means to download these songs, I would go spend my $15, which adjusted for inflation now about 20 years ago is about $23. So I would take my, you know, my whole wage of working at my mom's, stepdad's house, working, you know, his business on a Saturday. I would slap that same 20 on the register to buy a fucking album.
That's dope.
So it was, I listened to Step in the Arena, and there's a lot, if you guys really pay attention to how I write and how I do all this, and a lot of Guru, may he rest in peace, is a lot of his braggadocio type lyrics are in my repertoire. Just because he, like Master Ace with his consistency of making a consistent bar rhymes like that. Guru had this ability where it's like, yo, you're laying back and rapping this shit, but you sound so dope. And I wanted to be that because, oh, yeah. But my energy ain't like that when I'm on the mic. When I'm on the mic, I'm super aggressive, and it's just always been inherent with me. It's always, I've always had this outlet to do that with. And it's something that I've tried to work on too, but Premier coupled with Guru, it always took somebody to, I don't think Guru would have popped off as much without DJ Premier in hand. And that's the best benefit that you had. You had DJ Premier in your back pocket like that as a group. God, good Lord. I love it. I love it. And Step in the Arena, if you guys ever listen to Step in the Arena, I hope we get to cover it soon. I hope you guys listen to it for the first time, if anything, but dog, the album's perfect from start to finish. It's only like 50 minutes, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Next would be J Dilla. And I would say J Dilla made one of the most, I still think Let's Ride in Q-Tip's 1998 effort of Amplified. He made Let's Ride. And I guess the story goes, and this is just a Paul Bunyan hearsay for me, but J Dilla had a better version of Let's Ride, but his computer got corrupted or files got deleted. And he had last minute to recompose the whole beat. And still made it dope.
Made
beat.
It crazy.
Let's Ride is so dope.
It's like it just came back from total destruction.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly. From the
like if it was Terminator 2, you know that liquid T-9000?
Yeah, so his computer got messed up with liquid nitrogen, broke, and then he had to reform with the heat.
The puddles slowly come together. Like
this and that marriage of the lo-fi characteristics that you get with J Dilla.
Oh yeah.
But with Q-Tip's voice.
Oh,
dude, it's just spine tingling. Spine tingling.
It's a good combination.
The other gentleman that I had, and I love painting, I'm going to love painting a story with this guy, Pete Rock. Pete Rock.
Okay, so he got the other ones.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He got the other ones.
Us collectively, the people at That's Hip Hop filmed live in front of That's Hip Hop Studios, live studio. California.
A live studio audience.
I wish it had a live studio. Yeah. We had the privilege to go to the Grove Amphitheater to watch a couple DJ sets.
Yes,
we got there in time to watch the Egyptian Lover, and I was healthy enough for that
healthy
day.
Healthy enough to make it.
Till shenanigans ensued. we listened to the Egyptian Lover, did a great set.
Excellent.
Then we stuck around and listened to Pete Rock do his set. And I love the feeling of listening to one of the greatest beats of all time being performed by the gentleman who made the beat. That to me was just like, I felt like a part of history. Yeah. We all know they reminisce over you, the song tribute to Trouble T. Roy.
Yeah.
That's,
God. Crazy.
It's one of those jams that, you know, cemented legacy in Street Volume 2. It's awesome to freestyle over, and it's just
dope game that you just mentioned, by the way.
Pete Rock and CL Smooth make fantastic albums. And yeah, that's it was one of those moments where I felt like really I just felt it was like an emotional moment, because you may not get that moment so close to home.
Right.
We were able to just drive an hour away and make it just in time for that. So I was happy for that. But yeah, Pete Rock definitely has.
Pete Rock definitely set the foundation for a lot of the guys we have later.
Yep.
I also had the Neptunes as well. Okay. And like to reiterate what Andre was saying, the Neptunes, pioneers in their own right with being able to produce so much variety, even produced Rock Your Body, Justin Timberlake's joint. Am I correct in that? Yeah.
Yeah. You are.
That song,
they did the whole Justify.
Dude, that whole, that beat, Rock Your Body beat, should have been like a dope hip hop album. Like, but it Justin took it and all right to it, because it's a hit. You paint that any which way. Like, there's not a lot of producers that have that ability of like, take this beat, watch what you could do with it.
That's what it feels like. You know, they feel like they give beats that don't make sense to certain people and they work it out.
These beats are black market type. If so, all right, guys, I got grinding. Hear this instrumental with the starting beat, starting price, 500 grand. Clips are there. You know, the clips are there. Ludacris is there. Right. You know, just whoever. Who's the highest bidder. Just because they know when they hear that joint go off,
can we tap into
lucky
that?
The clips got that thing, dude.
Real quick, let's tap into that, because that's what I wanted to emphasize real quick.
Yeah.
Grinding is such a minimalist, simplistic beat that you can bang on your table at school, right? And that's the one beat in the whole history of hip hop where I felt like everybody in the world tried to try this beat, right? Yeah. I remember it. Everybody's in class trying to do it with the hand and the pen, right? And I was like, man, a beat that simple, right? A beat that you can do with your mouth, right? Like those sounds, the popping sounds that they put in the background for grinding. That beat changed the world, right? Compared to some elaborate ass huge symphony with all these sounds, like this shit had like probably, I think, 6 sounds total in the whole beat. And it completely rocked the game. That's the Neptunes in a nutshell, man. Yeah,
I want to say it kind of has that same. I remember me and Isaiah were talking about it during a September 11th episode, mm-hmm. where it's a moment of universal consciousness, where a beat so simple can be done by you,
everybody.
But when we all hear it, the consciousness meld together. Mm-hmm. And it like unifies us in a way to where it's like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah.
Black, white, old, young.
Yeah.
The heads still bop because they just know that these sounds that the Neptunes make can still just like are consistent among everybody.
Yeah.
There's like these sounds don't discriminate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's crazy because certain beats can travel so far in the stratosphere, and then there's some that just go into outer space.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but that's what that beat was. That's what the beat from Dr. Dre when he made 50s in the club.
That was. Nice.
Bum, like bum, it's one of those bum, beats bum, that just bum, you got a bomb. You got an atomic bomb on your hands.
Yeah.
It's like that.
And the last gentleman that I had made it seem real easy, especially with the fact that a lot of his work was done via Fruity Loops. It's Ninth Wonder.
Oh. Ninth Wonder!
Yeah.
All right, so look.
Yeah, Wonder.
Mark picked everything I didn't pick.
That's a good
Mark picked the other half of my list. His whole list is my other list, okay?
That's a good one.
Yeah, Mark low-key picked my, I gave y'all a pop list. He gave me my underground list. The real deal is Ninth Wonder to me is like what he is capable of with samples, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
He has made a new music theory with it. And I don't want to over exaggerate Ninth, but Ninth, he even explains his shit in classes. He teaches classes on how to sample like him, right? So of course I'm watching, and he broke it down. He's like, I want to change the chord progression of this song. The chord progression is this, that, this, that. Well, when I chop the samples up, I'm going to make it that, this, this, that. And I'm like, what? And he's been doing it like that for years. Yeah, so the shit that he's been doing with Lil Brother, everything he's done with what Mos Def,
Murs,
shit.
everybody. Jay-Z. He's worked with every fucking Beyonce. He's worked with everybody. Everybody, bro. Yeah.
I like.
So come on now.
Yeah. I like it when
Ninth is nice. Ninth is one of my favorites.
I wanted to save this story until we did the Black album, but whatever. It's 50 years of hip hop. You only get that one time. This is like the Haley's Comet.
Right.
Of this episode.
Yeah.
So the Black album comes out around this time. It's I'm going to be I'm a freshman, sophomore in high school.
Right.
And I have, I think the best gift that I ever got, and some guy just really didn't care about this. Every time I would go to his house, we'd play NBA Live and play on the Xbox with a big ass Duke controller.
Yeah.
And by his Duke controller, his dad was OG. So yeah. He had the big ass Sony turntable equalizer, the tape decks, the whole all
situation.
That. Every Mexican, every black family had it. Like it was like this big wood grain. With the metal, with the glass panel that you would push and it would slide out. Yeah. So but whoever had it had the Sony headphones. And I'm like, Justin, like, can I have these headphones? He's like, go ahead. Gave me Sony headphones for my CD player. So like on the way home, I would be with some legit Sony headphones. And dude, I'm figuring out trying to
I remember seeing you wear these headphones too.
I'm trying to figure out, trying to see where's the adapter for these things or whatever. But like Sony did back in the day, you unscrew the big, headphone jack.
And you reveal the actual smaller jack. And it'd be a
smaller jack. Oh man, I was made in heaven. I plugged that thing in, listened to the Black album on the way home like every day. Every day. And then, you know, you would hear songs that as a kid, the Black album is about aspirations of getting out of the hood. It's about aspirations of when you make money. It's about aspirations of like just being on the come up.
Yeah.
That's a classic, classic right there.
Allure.
Triumph.
And Lucifer. The song Lucifer. You can see Ninth Wonder on that all day, just looping that Lucifer joint by
Lucifer, love in the son of the morning.
Yeah, I think Eka Mouse. Eka Mouse is the one that the reggae artist did that.
Wait, so not Ye? Ye didn't do that beat?
No, because you can literally hear him in the back. Ninth, you a genius. Low in the back. Ninth Wonder. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You guys for real?
Yeah.
Ninth Wonder was on the Black album. Yeah.
But I thought Lucifer was Ye. He said Kanye.
Oh yeah. Then I think that's probably Allure.
Oh okay.
Wait, I'm feeling stupid.
You guys were giving me a Mandela effect because I was like, wait, so Kanye?
It's like the Fruit of the Loom. It's like the Fruit of the Loom. You know, like with Fruit of the Loom, there's actually a brown loom in the back. I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was all the time that there was just fruit in the back. Turns out with that. But yeah, Ninth Wonder was on the Black album anyway. But like, just listen to the Black album on the way home. It's like you have the inspiration.
Yeah, he did Lucifer. Yeah, he did Lucifer. My bad. He did Lucifer. But
yeah, but not. But Ninth
and Ye are like from the same family. Of
Ninth did, I believe he did either Allure or Dirt Off Your Shoulders, I believe.
Dirt Off Your Shoulders is Timbaland. That's Timbaland. That's Timbaland.
So now we're just getting too deep at this point.
that's Timbaland.
Well, I'm not going to do this until I solve.
Well, I was going to say too, like, I wanted.
Oh, he did the Threats joint. He did Threats.
Okay.
He did the Threats joint.
Now I stand corrected with the Threats joint.
And that shit is fire,
too. I wanted to say we didn't choose Ye, but I did want to give him at least an honorable mention. I mean, the guy's an amazing producer, despite what everybody thinks about him. Crazy producer. And the reason I just didn't choose him is because I went with Ayatollah actually, because before him with sampling, you know, I felt like that Chipmunk soul sound, Ayatollah was one of the first kind of people, one of the first people that like kind of started that already. Mm-hmm. So that's the only reason I went with Ayatollah rather than going with somebody like Ye, because Ye comes in later and does, and like takes that into a whole new stratosphere.
I like how authentic your list is though. I mean, that's very,
I also think too that, one more point I wanted to make about Ninth Wonder is that his big showing out party to me is the Murray's Revenge with Murs and Ninth Wonder. That album is an LA classic. It even elevates to just like mainstream classic. I see my buddy Giovanni sees Murs all the time. And I just want to tell him like, dude, tell him that I love Murray's Revenge. Tell him I still have that CD in my foldable I still think about it. I still have my my CD album booklets, like of just, you know, the zip ones that you open, the Case Logic joints.
That's so dope.
So I just was like he sees them all the time.
I like that beat from him that goes, and I wonder why. That sample that he did with that one.
Oh, from Little Bruh from the Minstrel Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Yeah, that is like one of my favorite beats from One Night Wonder. I was just sick.
All the work, LA, all the shit he did with Little Brother is perfect.
Yeah, the LA song's really good. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good beats
on Minstrel Show.
On the Minstrel Show, and there's on Murray's Revenge as well. LA is a good instrumental as well.
All right, so let's move on to the top five songs that we got.
Yeah.
So I know you have albums, but you can stick with that list still if you want, Dre.
I got albums. Yeah, I didn't even. I forgot the top five songs.
That's fine. You can stay with the top five albums.
The top five songs should be in there.
No, let's go to top five albums first, and then I'll.
Okay, go ahead.
You whittle together some top five fucking songs.
All right.
Because I forgot about the top five. Well, I did top five producers, top five rappers, top five albums.
I don't have any top. I didn't do a top five on albums.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. So on my end, it's shit that makes sense to you guys. You know, The Chronic 2001. A lot of people say the original Chronic is what got them like completely to change their mindset on hip hop. But the Chronic 2001 was like the perfect sequel. It just came together so well.
Yeah.
The way that the production on this thing is just the best it's ever been. He takes everything to another level. And I still to this day can listen to the album. And I swear to real God, I don't skip. I never skip. I don't skip the sketches. I skip nothing. Like everything is perfect. I can listen to it all the time. The next one is Illmatic, just because it shifted the way the storytelling was presented in a hip hop song. Changed the game. So it changed my game. My whole game changed because of this one. Extinction Level Event, Busta Rhymes, simply because it's just, I had never heard anything like that before. And at the age I heard it, it made me rapper. So, you know, like I always say it, Extinction Level Event is the reason I'm here. So, you know, once everything ended, I guess I showed up. But, you know, that album is just, it's a perfect example of being interesting and humorous and making your album feel like a movie and still doing something unique every track. So, Extinction Level Event. And we My Dark Twisted one. Fantasy. My Dark Twisted Fantasy is a Kanye album. This is the best fucking thing this motherfucker's ever made, okay? I'm sorry.
Production-wise, insane.
Production-wise? No, insane. Even his pen went crazy. If you listen to this shit, okay. All right, so you got to listen to it kind of like, all right, I gave you a bar about Busta Rhymes, right? On Give Me Some More, right? And I was like, oh, he's like a super angel or something, right? You have to listen to My Dark Twisted Fantasy like he's a super angel, right? Mm-hmm. And all of his bars will have like seven or eight entendres. Like everything will be layered so deep.
See, I never saw it that way. I always kind of just saw it like it was just, you know, it wasn't really that deep.
Don't say that to me. Don't say that. Yeah, he released a movie to this shit. He released a movie to it, man.
We'll end up covering it and get into it.
Yeah, we're going to do an episode on this. I know you guys will agree though. This album, this fool made a movie to it, Lo. Yeah, like he made like a thriller to this shit, right?
Right.
And then the album itself is still just production wise beyond anything. If you're a producer, right? Mm-hmm. We are producers, man. The shit he did on this album as a producer can't be done again. It's never gonna happen again. This fool sampled, I think, 20 to 30 super artists.
Yeah.
He sampled Elton John, Alicia Keys, and I think everybody on one song. On
Follow the Lights.
All the lights.
Even Drake on there somewhere.
But everybody is on there as an individual sound.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like not like a feature. Like, so when you see the feature list, you're like, I did not hear Nicki Minaj anywhere in this song. I didn't hear Elton John anywhere in this song. I didn't hear Mos Def anywhere in this song, right? But what Ye would do is like, yo, just say yo on the song. Just say yo on the mic real quick. He did
like South Park. South Park would have like George Clooney as the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And all he would do is bark.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they did. So what Ye did was like, he just sampled individual moments from all of these real life artists and made them instruments in the album.
That's crazy, huh?
That's not fucking, it's never been done again, bro. We Are the World by Michael Jackson, right? Yeah, what did he do? He put everybody in the room and they sang a song. What Ye does, he does We Are the World and makes them samples. He doesn't let you sing. He just lets you go, oop. And then I use that oop sound for something.
He'll up Rihanna more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what he did on this album is
It's beyond hip hop. It changes the climate of hip hop, man. Yeah,
it does.
I'm gonna fuck up. It's a top five list, but I'm gonna say two albums. Okay.
All right.
The next album is 444 by Jay-Z. One of the 444 changed my whole opinion on hip hop entirely. Hip hop is not the same thing anymore after 444. After I listened to this album, I was like, I gotta go back. I've listened to 444 over 100 times, no question.
Really?
Yes. Wow, that's dope. And like donuts.
That's dope.
I still hear something new. Nothing is the same.
Yeah.
All right.
I like his perspective on 444. You know, this is a different Jay-Z.
And it's a different Jay-Z, and this is the Jay-Z we needed for that period when it dropped. Right. It's perfect.
Right.
444, the song will make you cry if you love a woman. All right. And then what I can't let this
honorable
album.
Mention. Honorable mention.
Honorable mention. Childish Gambino, Because the Internet.
I haven't heard that album yet.
Okay. So, and I'll keep it brief. Donald Glover goes into character for this whole album run. For 1 year, he goes into character. He goes into a character named The Boy. Donald Glover is not Donald Glover, the man. He is the character, The Boy. For 1 year, he wears the same coat, the same outfit, everything, like a cartoon character. Because the boy is the cartoon character of this album called Because the Internet. So if you listen to this album, this man wrote a script, a full movie script to this album. He made a full website to this album that you can listen to the album and listen, read the script on. And he performed as the character in the album for a whole year. So every interview,
that's nuts.
Yo, it's nuts. It's that's crazy. Nuts. That's why it has to be mentioned. So for the whole year, he's in character. So when they ask him questions, they think I think my man is Mark right now, but really he's the character, the boy from this album he's making.
So he did a Jim Carrey, the Man on the Moon type of thing, but like
the Andy Kaufman shit. Yeah. He does the Andy Kaufman shit. Wow. So the whole year he's in Andy Kaufman mode. Damn. So you're talking to him, but it's not Donald Glover at all. It's the boy from his album.
That's crazy. I've never heard of that before.
And then I'll shut up after this. After the album is said and done and the run is complete, he goes out of character and says, yeah, I was in character the whole time. You know how fucking impossible that is? That he pulled this shit off everywhere he went. He wore the same coat, the same outfit. He's literally in character for like a year. All the interviews in that period, he's in the same outfit. You literally, every outfit, like every time you see him, he's wearing a brown coat with fur and a blue shirt. Brown coat with fur and a blue shirt. If they say take off your coat, he takes off his coat and he has another outfit that matches his character. He wrote a script and everything in the script is parallel to anything that you hear on the album. So you have to read the script for the album to make sense.
Never heard of that.
And look, it has never been done again. It's been done one time and nobody ever in rap music has done this again. And I think that has to be mentioned. It has to be mentioned. It transcends hip hop and goes into maybe a Twilight Zone area. Because the rap character is now living with you and talking to you, right? And everything that he does, he's got everything surrounding this character. So we'll do this album future. We'll just do the album in the future, guys.
We have to do all these
the internet coming in the future, but that's my shit. So I'm done.
Damn.
I'm sorry, man. All
right. So we'll do our next. Go ahead, Mark. You can do your five songs.
Yeah.
And then if you want to do five songs,
I'll do five songs. I'll put them together real fast. I got you.
So Mark, go ahead. Yeah. What's your,
I'll go from, down to the top. Cause I was just, trying to see what was going to make the five. It is tough to do a five
for songs though. I mean, tough,
but these are going to be ones that influenced me. These are ones that,
So it has to be five songs that influenced us. We're not saying they're the best ever made, but that influenced us.
Step in the Arena. From the album Step Into the Arena from Guru and the good people at Gangstar collectively. Mm-hmm. How We Roll, Cannabis. You know, go into the back of a cab until the meter says 999.
99.
Yeah.
Oh, was that on the album we covered? Mm-hmm. Can I Bust You? Yeah. That's right.
Whether they sign or unsign, many, many lines or more lines than a million pairs of Adidas, more lines than the Africa Herd Adidas.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I love the beat and I love Cannabis's ability to, this is a lot of the reasons why I like Biss and it just made it cool to be smart and rap. You know, it's just like, I've never felt, I always felt held back to be just write how I wanted to write. But till I started listening to cannabis, dude, you could say some smart stuff and some just be just, oh my gosh.
Out of like, this world.
It's some good, it's really good stuff. Howie Roll has a lot of good punchlines. From the Illmatic album, It Ain't Hard to Tell. Mm. It Ain't Hard to Tell. Anytime that I really didn't, this is 14-year-old Mark at the time too. Anytime I had a hard time, like trying to believe in what I was writing and like believe that I could write something, I would listen to It Ain't Hard to Tell. And it just sounded perfect. It ain't hard to tell. I excel, then prevail. The mic is contacted. I attract clientele. Mic check is life or death. Breathing a sniper's breath. Like, yeah. Dude, this is just stuff that I freak beat, slam it like Iron Sheik. I jam come correct with correct techniques. So, you know, just the stuff you just say. Like, this always brought me back down to reality, because here I am at 14. I'm like, dude, yeah. Nas wrote this at 20. Roz, earlier, because he had to made the album, so yeah. Probably at 19.
Yeah.
You know, and then
sounds like a grown man though.
For real.
Then from Rakim, Microphone Fiend.
Oh God.
Microphone Fiend, I was a fiend. Before I became a teen, I was melting microphones instead of cones, the ice cream music orientated. So hip hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzles, complicated. See, it's just like that stuff just, man, Rakim style, dude. Like I've always admired the guy, because he actually proceeded making a classic album of Paid in Full earlier than Nas did. And he did it when he was 18. I liked Rakim's style. I think he's one of the best rappers of all time. It's just something that, to me, I can't wait to like just meet the man, give him his, you know, respect due to him. Yeah. Big Daddy Kane comes in with Set It Off.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Man, it's just, he made it cool to like be, to act silly. Like, not on the Biz Markie type level,
yeah.
But like he even had this one bar in there where it's just, it's like creamy, something like Skippy and Jif. And then when he says he goes a little bit further into the verse, he's like, even if I stutter, I could still come off. Dog, he has that as a bar.
That's a dope bar.
And dog, if we ever get the chance to listen to Long Live the Kane, that song's on there is just, I don't want to spoil it for you guys if you guys hear it for the first time, but dude, it is Big Daddy Kane is in my top 10. Rakim's in my top 10. These are the OGs, but the thing is that these guys weren't Melly Mel. These guys weren't KRS-One slowing it down. Like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane, like they sped it up, made it so sick, and flirted into the intellectual level, especially at this time, the golden era from like 85 to 93, just like really came off with those. So those are going to be my songs.
Oof, that's fucking solid, man.
Yeah, dude. It's, I'm East Coast and old school bias. It's a certain bias I have, but dude,
he's a
it's
West
like,
Coast East Coaster.
Okay.
West East.
Yeah, it is. It's what molded me into just writing how I write and what, you know, just jamming out to certain music that I like to jam out to, man.
You want to go next on yours, or yeah, I got the songs ready. I got mine ready now. All right. So.
I'll shoot mine next here. All right. So top five songs I have. My first one is going to be Woo Gambino's on Rekwan's Cuban Links.
Genius.
Woo Gambino's was that song that I would have on repeat when I was in high school, and nobody would know what I was listening to, and I would just listen to it all day. It's a one track that will get me out of any mood that might be bringing me down or anything. When I hear Woo Gambino's,
yeah,
I'm fired up. Like yeah. I'm fired up. And just from hearing I'll hear every minute of that track. And it starts off with some samples in our line of work, you know, something's the name, da da da. And he's like, get your man off the table with your looking glass. Like they're just bantering, right?
Yeah.
And it's you hear Method Man, yo. And he's calling out everybody, Bobby Steels, everybody's Woo Gambino nickname.
Yeah.
And then they get into it, and it's a track that just, it's a simple beat, simple sample. And it's just, and then he just goes into it like, yo, and just starts ripping it.
Yeah.
Method Man starts first. kills it. Rekwan comes in. The RZA, yeah. Even RZA has a crazy verse on there.
That beat's so a playground.
He goes
it's
off.
It's a discovery zone, bro. Like, there's so much shit to do in that fucking instrumental, man. Ain't no fucking playground.
So RZA, that's my favorite RZA verse too, actually, in that, like that. In that track. But that's that first one that cool. That track will get me. And then the next one is another Cuba Links track, which is Ice Cream.
Okay. Yeah.
And Ice Cream is one of my favorites. One of those joints that I can just play again and again and again. I just love the way that, like, the way they, you know, rizz up these girls, and
it's a Mac Daddy track.
Yeah, they describe them as Ice Cream.
Yeah.
And I just love the way they do that. Like
the creativity.
Butter Pecan, and then just like they just describe them in so many different ways. I mean, you see the chemistry between Rekwan and Ghostface on there, just both of them doing their thing that they love. The chemistry's solid on that. The music video, classic. You see Method Man on the ice cream truck doing the hook. Ice cream, like, it's just sick. And then Capadonna's on it. So it's like all of my favorite Wu Gambinos are on that track. And they're just, you know, picking up on honeys. And I love Ghostface's verse when he's just right there, like, you know, backyard banging like a Benzie. Like, I love it. I love that style of how they're just using slang in a way to, like, pick up on these girls. So that's one of my second favorite ones.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Butter pecan. Yeah, it is butter pecan.
Double scoop, baby.
double scoop. The third one I like is by Psycho Realm. It's a track called The Stone Garden. And it's a very, like, dark type of turn I'm taking here. And this one is one of those tracks that I think represents, you know, my culture well, you know, cause we don't have a lot of, like, Mexican, you know, or Latino, like, type of rappers out here. So this one is the one that, like, I think does it for us, that, like, kind of brings that out more. And I don't know how they do it, but their beats somehow have that Latino infused in there somehow. I don't know what it is about it, but, the delivery on it, it's really dope. It starts off with the guy, I forgot his MC name, but he's bald head, and he's just, his voice is so, like, high pitch. I don't know how to describe his voice. High pitch. He's like out the stone garden, but I don't, like, just his style is crazy. He's like in the video, in the music video, he's like, in the psyche ward, and he's coming out on a hospital bed, and he's just going off on this beat. This beat is, if you love battle rap, like, this beat is it. And then there's a guy, he's kind of like Cholo a little bit. He's like, out the stone garden. He gets, like, a whole different flow. I gotta
look this song up, man, because you're hyping it.
It's like a Mexican, like, Wu-Tang track.
Be Real features on it. He's the third one.
And okay,
he,
so it
he
is.
He does a line and goes, look out, bah! This is, like, for Psycho Realm, like, Cypress Hill, this is, like, my favorite out of all of them. Stone Garden. Fourth one, Souls of Mischief, 93 Till Infinity.
Classic. Okay, let's go.
I love that, and I can listen to that all day. I love their style.
No skips, right?
Yeah, I love that. Motherfucker. That is, like, one of my favorites. I can hear it all forever.
Chicks back in the day would only reference, they, like, oh, you're underground, right? Oh, what do you like? Oh, yeah, I like Souls of Mischief. What song? 93 Till Infinity. What else? What else? Oh, all right.
That one's definitely made the list.
So good though, man.
Yeah, dude, just their style, man. Like, I would rap that style if I had that, bro. But I don't have that, but, man, I love the way it's, like, rap. Kind of, they blend it with, like, singing a bit.
Hieroglyphics, like, in them do that. Yeah, that's like the that's the Oakland camp out there. Planet Asia, them.
Yeah, both sides of the spectrum.
Del the Funky Homo Sapien, and Hieroglyphics.
And they have that style too, like that De La Soul kind of style. Have that. You know, so the last one is, this one was a hard one for me, but it came down to Mobb Deep's Shook Ones.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear that one.
That's good.
It's fire, man. It's fire.
That
all
beat,
day.
That beat incites inspires me. Flames, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's makes, like, to all the killers and the $100 billers who ain't got no fillers. Because I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about it. I was like, okay, my top five songs, like, do I choose one that's more universal? But I had to go with what inspired me.
Yeah.
That track inspired me. And that one is, like, the anthem for all hip hop heads. Yeah. Like, to all the killers. And when you hear that beat drop, who ain't got no feelings? And then Prodigy is one of my favorite rappers of all time. Yeah, so
that was just another level. To. That just like changed the game. I love that song.
I was hearing that. I was hearing that in the when I was sick. I was just like, damn it, I wanted to, because I hear it in the back of all, like sleeping shit. I'm like, damn it, I wish I was there. I wish I was there.
All right, Dre, what's your guy?
I'll be fast with mine, man. This is my pop songs list, but it works for me. Summertime is one of the best songs ever made and written by Rakim. And I just think that's really amazing that Rakim made a great song through a surrogate, and the surrogate was Will Smith. So Summertime to me is one of the songs that I swear to God, no matter where I am, if it starts, people all do the same shit at the same time. Like as soon as that bitch start, everybody does the same shit, bro. If you're white, you're black, you're Asian. I've seen every version of people pop off on this song. So Summertime.
The barbecue definitely becomes a cookout.
Immediately. Oh, so Summertime, one of the best, well-written, well emotionally accepted songs. Summertime for sure. Stan influenced me greatly. Yeah. As an artist and also as a fan.
Yeah.
I was a huge M fan at this time. And I swear to God, it felt like I heard the song right when I was about to go too far as a fan. As soon as I heard the song, I said, I'm not a fan on that level. I'm not even that much of a fan. I'm not going to go any further than where I am as a fan. So when I first heard it, it emotionally struck me because there's two things that happened. One, on the third verse, this guy dies. Holy shit, this guy fucking died. And then this is the biggest thing that, like, if you're like, this is the first time I heard the song and I'm a little kid. There's a fourth verse and I get fucked up for some reason that there's four verses. And M is talking now. And it's like, wait, M replied to him? He's dead. Yeah. Like, so that,
I forgot
that,
about that.
Yeah. So there's a fourth verse. That, and after the guy drives his car off the cliff and dies, M is writing him. And as a little, you know, young person, I'm like, the guy's dead. Who are you writing to? So he answers my question with like, oh, the person, it was you, right?
Yeah.
And that the ending alone, the whole song.
God, such a good song.
It's a great song, man. At the end really of that shit, I was fucked up. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I was fucked up. Even and Kim too. Kim fucked me up pretty bad as a kid. But anyway, that's not the song.
Stan, real quick to comment on it too, is like it's a lot.
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's so, like a fucking movie.
That's where it's good that you bring it up because you could still, it shows how impactful the music video was too, as well, because you can imagine, you see that bootleg Eminem inside his house, just riding to Eminem.
Right.
You just
see
that off the jump.
Right.
It's like when you watch Freak on a Leash, you see that bullet.
Yeah, exactly.
Already. It was just one of those iconic, songs, music video,
combinations. Perfect combo, had Dido on it. It was great. Yeah. So Stan, perfect. Great blend of hip hop and you know, a bit of like some pop sensibility. Protect Your Neck is my third.
Wu-Tang again. Yeah. Oh, bro, yeah.
Okay, so the reason I put this on the list was I haven't listened to Wu-Tang in a long time. And I had a shuffle situation I was playing Tidal, listen to an album, and Protect Your Neck comes on. And I wasn't paying attention, right? So when Protect Your Neck comes on, I literally do this. Like, I jump into the song, bro. Like, it struck me like lightning. Like the song, and I'm listening, and the beat got me hypnotized, bro.
Swinging into town like your neighborhood Spider-Man.
I'm in the car. I'm doing a delivery. I'm supposed to give the food to somebody at their house. I'm in the car like this. I'm not thinking about the
food's
customer.
Food's all cold.
Bro, yeah, I'm serious. I'm not thinking about the customer no more. I'm gone. And I was like, yo, I can't even imagine hearing this shit for the first time in the 90s. How much energy did RZA put in this bitch, man? So to me, Protect Your Neck has magic in it, man. Yeah. I remember it was just something. I even listening to that other time, I was like, I've never felt that in a song before. So Protect Your Neck has to be on the list.
That's a good pick.
Ice Cube's Today Was a Good Day. Yep. Because that's beat, the instrumental, and how well it's put together.
Man, I'm loving our picks, man.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I accidentally deleted the second part of this. We're going to have to do a two-part series. It'll be released next Monday. Stay tuned.